My name's Will DeFries, and this is the Sunday Scaries Podcast, your cure for the Sunday blues. Historically, I don't normally love watching movies during the summer. I feel like I should just be doing something else, whether it's drinks with friends, taking a walk with a later sunset, or pretty much anything but sitting around inside. That being said, sometimes it's just nice to have a movie night in. Whether you're tired, hungover, or just have work the next day, it just feels good to crack the windows or open the porch doors to get some air flowing through, get under a light blanket on the couch, toss on a movie, and fall asleep with a half-full glass of Sauvignon Blanc on the coffee table. This week, I thought I'd take from what started as a listener question from last week's episode but deserved more time. These are the three most aesthetically pleasing summer films. The first is Call Me By Your Name. It's starring Timothy Chalamet and Armie Hammer, and it's a coming-of-age story about two men who fall in love over a summer in Italy. It's quite possibly the most aesthetically pleasing movie of all time. The second I saw a trailer for it with Sufjan Stevens playing in the background, I knew that this was a movie that I needed to see in theaters more than anything else, but it still holds up on the small screen too. One of the main reasons that this is such an aesthetically pleasing movie is just the clothing itself. Oversized button-downs, light t-shirts in the Italian heat, denim on denim on Timothy Chalamet just looking oh so emo, and the short shorts that they're wearing as they're biking through town. It's just really perfect. It's aspirational even. The setting, too, is also perfect. It was set in 1983 Northern Italy in a 14-room estate in Mascazzano, Italy that dates back to the 1500s. I will say I don't have much experience in speaking Italian, so my pronunciations throughout a little bit of this episode are going to be a little brutal, but just bear with me. Like I said, there's a Sufjan Stevens soundtrack that backs all this, and so just the shots of the house, whether it's, you know, the very noticeable library, the place outside where they're always eating breakfast, or just the bedrooms where, you know, things happen. But it's just an incredible spot to film pretty much anything, and just the scenic views from the city, from the mountains that they're climbing through, oh, it's just exquisite. I will say that the 14-room estate is a little more expensive than I thought it would be, being between $1.7 million and $2.1 million, and I have to say, it looks like it could probably use a little work as well. It probably hasn't been updated since 1983, but that's neither here nor there. The next movie is also set in Italy, or largely in Italy, and that's The Talented Mr. Ripley. Matt Damon, Gwyneth Paltrow, Jude Law, Philip Seymour Hoffman, and Cate Blanchett star in it. And again, it's set in Italy in the 1960s. I did some research because I wasn't exactly sure which city or town this was taped in. And as it turns out, I found something from, I think it was a thing that's called movielocations.com or something. It said, to represent the fictitious resort of Montebello, where Dickie idles away with his girlfriend Marge, which is Gwyneth Paltrow, the movie uses two separate locations: the beautiful island of Ischia, large and three volcanic islands of the Bay of Naples, and its tiny neighbor, Procida. Again, I am not good with these pronunciations, so I apologize greatly to anyone out there who is. Both islands can be reached by ferries from Naples itself. Italy is not my forte. I would love to go. It's number one on my list. We were going to do our honeymoon there, but things changed. But I have to say that, again, this movie with the setting, just the shooting of all of it, the quietness, you can kind of just hear the birds chirping when you're watching it. The first 30 minutes of this film rival any other visually pleasing film out there. The slow jazz score also adds to it. It's almost a little creepy at times how the music will just suck you in. And I would kind of recommend against putting this on a jazz playlist because it can kind of tank your mood if you're kind of lightly bopping along and then all of a sudden one of the songs from this comes on. This movie will always hold a special place in my heart because, as much as I don't want to admit this, I actually watched it as I fell asleep on my wedding night. We had gotten done with all of the wedding festivities. We went back to the hotel room and the adrenaline was just still kind of pumping with me. And I decided that, you know, I wanted to settle in, turn on the fireplace, open the patio doors and watch a movie. And while most people probably don't spend their nights watching Jude Law and Matt Damon tromp around Italy for their wedding night, I did. I just had so much adrenaline that I just could absolutely not go to sleep. And I probably fell asleep around 4 a.m. after watching almost the entire thing. And then our final movie is one that has always held a special place in my heart. It's a romantic comedy that's a little light, more light than the two movies that I've mentioned before, but it's Something's Gotta Give. And of course, there had to be a romantic comedy. If you haven't seen it, starring Jack Nicholson and Diane Keaton. And from the wardrobe to the locations, it's pure summer perfection. The wardrobe itself is just something that's aspirational. Flowy summer clothing, oversized cashmere sweaters. You can just see these cashmere sweaters on Diane Keaton, and I've never been more jealous of someone's style in a movie. I just want to wear a bucket hat and a white cashmere sweater and sit on the beach all day. It sounds wonderful. The cuffed pants at the beach, it's like Dawson's Creek style, but just more grown up and when they have like more money. And Jack Nicholson's white linen shirts in this are divine. I just absolutely love it. I actually have a white shirt that I bought that probably based on this movie itself. The location, again, is just perfect. The house was used, that house that they used for the exterior shots of Diane Keaton's beach house in the movie was actually a real Hamptons beach house where the movie was supposed to be set. And it's located at 576 Meadow Lane in Southampton. Unfortunately, the house is not for sale, but I don't really think it makes too much of a difference with me because it's valued about $18 million, which is a little out of my pay grade. The interiors are beachy, shabby chic with grays, whites, light blues. You can just smell the salt from the ocean when you're watching it. So if you're looking for something to do tonight, do yourself a favor, pour a glass of wine, and head to the couch. Just let me know which movie you settled on. This week's episode is brought to you by Roman. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually we just brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo. Or we avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work, or sorry, honey, I'm just not feeling it. But with Roman, it's easy to talk about it. With a real doctor who can prescribe real medication, it's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation for ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. The doctor will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship to you with free two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is even simpler. Just go to GetRoman.com/Scaries and complete an online visit. Again, that's GetRoman.com/Scaries to complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today, connect with a doctor, and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/Scaries today. If approved, you get $15 off of your first ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/Scaries. Again, GetRoman.com/Scaries. And now, back to the episode. At the time of this recording, it marks July 22nd, 2020. What I found was the 7-year anniversary of the day that I started Sunday Scaries, the brand that you know now, the brand that I started as a blog and now a podcast. I found it through a Tumblr email. The website originated on Tumblr, and they send an email every year wishing you a happy anniversary. And I always kind of forget when it was until I get the email. And I have to say, it's probably one of the best emails that I get every year. Honestly, it feels like longer than 7 years that I've been doing this. I put up a sappy Instagram post thanking everyone who's followed along at Will DeFreeze on Instagram. I felt kind of, I don't want to say overwhelmed with joy, but I just felt so happy about the 7-year mark. And I know 7's a stupid number. It's not an even number. It's not 5. It's not 10. It's not something that you would typically celebrate. But it just feels like I've been content with this for so long now that hitting those small milestones is meaningful to me. And so it made me really think about my project that I started as Sunday Scaries and my now career as a whole. I don't want to go into the process of what I did too much because there's an entire episode dedicated to this called The Oral History of Sunday Scaries. If you haven't listened to this episode yet, it's the best basis for what I did from step one until pretty much today. But what I did want to talk about today is just kind of the emotions that went behind me finally taking the step in order to do this. And so I asked myself, why did I start it in the first place? And the first thing that always comes to my head, and pretty much the first thing I tell everybody, is because I wanted a creative outlet. I wanted something that I could do on my own that nobody could, you know, have any creative direction over. And I wanted to have something that was genuinely and uniquely mine. Something that people could go to and see and think like, okay, Will clearly did this. And I think I accomplished that. And another reason is just that I was flat out bored. I found myself living in my hometown, and that was great. I enjoyed it. But there isn't a lot to do in small resort towns in northern Michigan in the middle of winter. And so when I started thinking about kind of dipping my toe into the content game during this winter time, it was something that I didn't shake, obviously, for about 7 months until I finally took the step and did it. And that boredom, it was finally channeled into something positive, and it just made me really happy. And finally, I just wanted to be in charge of something. In a way, I wanted control over something in my life. I was working a job that I enjoyed, but I didn't have control over the things that I was doing at all times. And even though I felt like I was enabled at my job, I didn't have the freedom to just run rampant and do whatever I wanted and do something without the repercussions of someone saying like, yeah, maybe we should have done that differently. I just wanted to have control. Up until that point in my life, I just kind of found myself drifting along, I guess, just kind of seeing what came to me and not really going out and seizing much. And so it just was something that I finally could own and something that I could finally just have. And so I started thinking about how it's benefited me since. And the ways that it's helped me are just countless. It's innumerable. Professionally, I've obviously gotten a career out of it, and it's great. I've always wanted to work for myself. I've never wanted to work for somebody else. Ever since I was younger and I went through my punk rock stage in high school, just working for, quote, the man has never really done much for me. And so getting a career out of it where I can work for myself or in a partnership with a couple other people, it's just been something that's very gratifying. And I've learned more than I ever could about business through doing this. I never really thought that I would be that savvy with business, and I still don't think I'm that savvy. But at the same time, I didn't go to business school. I didn't know anything about business going into anything. And when I started this, I didn't really know that it was going to turn into a business. So I really had to learn from the ground up of, okay, if I want to monetize this, what do I need to do? If I want to get advertisers on board, who do I need to contact? And it's just been enjoyable. And I've parlayed this success of the brand, and it's brought me something that feels successful all my own. Even if it's not monetarily successful all the time, it's something that I can look at as a standalone project and say, yes, I did this for an extended period of time, and it's something that I actually built. It's something that no one can take away from me, and it's something that is unique all its own and exists. It's just been a very gratifying feeling, and I know that this is very self-serving, but I promise I'll get to something in a sec. Personally, how I've benefited from it is much more tangible. First and foremost, I've met my wife through Sunday Scaries, something that I never thought I expected to happen, but I'm happy it did. I've also met friends both online and in real life through Sunday Scaries. And one of the biggest things is that my anxiety that really started this site in the first place and was the basis for it has honestly plummeted. I don't really get the overwhelming anxiety that I used to get. I never had bad anxiety attacks, but I definitely just had a generalized anxiety that made me kind of feel like I was inadequate. And I think by starting this and taking control of it, it took my inadequacy and invalidated that completely. And so the one thing that really was kind of the basis for starting this, the Sunday Scaries, the Sunday anxiety, the Sunday blues, that's just plummeted. And if nothing else, and that's been something that's been special for me above all else. And so where I really wanted to parlay this segment is to implore you, if you've had a project on your mind, if you've had a side hustle that you haven't really put too much effort into, if you have a hobby that you just think needs to be seen through, I don't want to be too cheesy or cliche, but I just want you to think about what's stopping you from doing that. Up until that point, I hadn't really truly owned much when I started it. I always had purpose, but I never really knew what that purpose was. And I always had the skill set to do something different and unique, but I didn't really apply it to anything. I didn't feel meaningless, but I didn't feel like I had control over anything actually tangible in my life. And I will say that because I chose something that I enjoyed doing, which was writing, web designing, graphic design, things like that. These are all things that I had liked doing, you know, leading up to this point. And because I was doing these things that I enjoyed, I never really felt like it was work. And it was always just kind of, all right, what's the next step? I'm enjoying this. Let's do something else. Let's move forward. Let's get some new writers on board. Let's start a podcast, whatever it may be. It never felt like work. And there's the age old saying that if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life. And I talked about how last week, how that's not always true. But at the same time, if I look at the entire 7 years of work that I've done, whether it's been solely for Sunday Scaries, for the old website Postgrad Problems that we wrote for, if I look back at those times, it never truly felt like I was working. Never did I have days I had days when I didn't want to go into the office or didn't want to do some work, but I never had extended periods of time where I actually dreaded doing these things. So if you're out there and if you have something that comes to mind when I mention a hobby, a side hustle, just a passion of yours, I encourage you to start your project, anything. The distraction from your personal life and professional life are a good thing. I know that you might want to go have happy hour beers, and you might want to go, I don't know, do something stupid with your friends, whatever it may be. The distraction from your personal and professional life is a healthy thing, and you'll learn more about yourself, more about the business that you could possibly start, or more about just the passion that you have for something. You'll learn more about that than you would ever expect, and I guarantee that if you see something through, it will be gratifying. Distractions they're a good thing, and a lot of people think they're not, and I'm here to tell you that a distraction that will take you away from going out with friends and keep you kind of holed up, passionately doing something in your apartment or your house, it's always going to turn out good for you. I just implore you to do it. And not everything has to be people driven. You can do these projects alone, and you can have these siloed off times with yourself, and you will feel the gratification from it. And so what I've learned, you know, long and short of it, is just that what's good for your mental health can also just be good for so much more too. Get out there and just do something that you love. I promise it'll work out. If you liked what you heard today, make sure to subscribe, review, or tell a friend in need about this podcast. By subscribing, you guarantee that each and every episode gets delivered directly to your phone every Sunday morning. You can also follow along on Twitter @SundayScaries and Instagram, which is @Sunday.Scaries, or you can follow me on both Twitter and Instagram @WillDeFreeze. And remember, always trim the wicks on your scented candles. See you next Sunday.